want to spend just a little bit of time telling you about a trip that we took recently to Malawi, as you can see from our slide here. It was with a small charity called Links International, which we want to tell you a little bit more about. And in fact, let me point you to the Links magazine, which if you take a copy of Complete Life, which I mentioned earlier, there is a Links magazine tucked into each one of those. So you're very welcome to take that. And there is actually an article in there about a recent trip to Malawi, not the one we've just done, but the one before that. So if you want to read a little bit more as we chat through what we did, then you're very welcome to do that. Over to Andy.
Yeah, I wanted to put the trip that we took and what we have to say about it in a context, which is kind of this verse here on the screen. I'll read in a minute the context of that verse in the passage in Ephesians. But you know how it is sometimes, some of you will know, sometimes verses just get hold of you and it seems that everywhere you turn and every situation you find yourself in and every circumstance, it feels like you're reminded of that verse. Anyone kind of experienced that? Yeah, a few nodding heads around. And this is one of these verses. I was actually asked to preach on a passage in Ephesians in our Maidenhead congregation a few weeks back. And this verse was the last verse of the passage. And it wasn't the main thing that I spoke about. I kind of spent a bit of time on it at the end of what I said. But somehow it took root in me. So I'm unashamedly going to try and plant it in you as well. The context of this verse is, for those of you that are less familiar with the book of Ephesians, Paul spends a big part of what we have as the first chapter of Ephesians. So of course it was a letter to start with. He spends a big part of the introduction to his letter talking about the amazing scope of God's plan for us. That before the foundation of the world, he looked ahead and saw, I want to have a family. And that family is going to have to be in Jesus. And he looked ahead and Paul maps out the wide horizon, which is what predestination means. The wide horizon of God's plan for humanity. And he talks about then what happened to Jesus, how Jesus was dead and buried, and how God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heaven. And then as he goes on into what we have as chapter 2, you get this amazing little bit where Paul, having talked about the fact that Jesus was dead and was raised to life and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, he then says, and we were dead, not literally dead in terms of not having any breath in our bodies, but actually really dead in our sin, in the stuff that separated us from God, that we were dead, but God raised us to life in Christ and seated us with Christ. So everything Paul has said has happened to Jesus, he then says, has happened to us, which is pretty stunning. And he clearly puts us in the position of having been adopted into the family of God in Christ. And I won't spend ages talking about this, but that word adoption meant actually something slightly different, as I think I said a little while ago. Actually here. It meant being positioned really in the family. The past is gone. You're now part of this family. But then at the end of this little section, Paul says this, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I think I did talk about this here a few weeks ago as well, but not of works, lest anyone should boast. And as a church, we would want to be very strong about the fact that it's not of works. It's not works that get us to God. We can't earn our way. It is grace. By grace we have been scooped up by God and adopted into his family. But having said it's not by works, Paul then goes on to say this: for we are his workmanship, his poetry, same word really, created in Christ Jesus for sitting around and kind of having a good time generally and just... doesn't actually say that. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And Lina's just going to talk a little bit about our trip and the context, who we went with and so on. And I have to tell you, as she begins to explain what we did, at the beginning of this trip to Malawi, I felt way out of my comfort zone. Don't know if that will surprise anyone, but basically I did. There's all sorts of stuff about this trip that I just thought, this isn't me. You know, I don't know if I can be any use here, and I don't know what I'm going to do about this, and actually I don't like this stuff. Anyway, and this verse came back to me that I'd been challenging you with and challenging the Maidenhead congregation with. There's good stuff prepared in advance for you to do, Andy, in this place. You've just got to reach out to me and ask what it is. There is stuff for you to do here. And it was this verse that I kind of held on to as we experienced some of the stuff Lina's going to talk to you about.
I'd like you to know. Guess who did that? So. Okay, so let me tell you a little. Let me introduce you to Links, which is a small charity under £1 million turnover, which was established 25 years ago now as a missions network, a registered charity. It partners with churches, organisations, and communities in a large number of nations, 64 at the last count. And the aim is to change lives and transform communities. I have the great privilege of being part of the board. I'm one of the trustees of Links. We're particularly passionate about it because of this, the whole thing of changing lives and transforming communities. The work that's done always aims to change a whole community, if at all possible. We do sometimes work with individuals, but we always work with nationals actually based in the nation that we're working with. We always try to find a partner to work through. We don't sort of swoop in, build a well or something that nobody wants. We always try to work with the locals and find out what they want. That's the whole aim of the charity. We link with partners. We try and link partners in the West and developing countries. We've got small offices in other parts of the world, in America, South Africa, Canada, and what's that place on the edge of China? Hong Kong, that's right. We have small offices in other parts of the world, but the main office is based in Littlehampton in the UK. And our aim is to inspire, empower, train and resource. So those four things. We're looking to inspire local people in developing countries, but also people from the West, to empower them, to give them the ability to do what they need to change their communities and improve living situations, to train them and to resource them. Note the resource comes last. We don't swoop in with money. I already mentioned the idea of the well, and you do see a number of charities that do that. They go into communities. They don't ask what local people want. They think, all right, you could do with a well, build a well. And we've actually seen situations where the well's not used because it's not what the local people want. They actually enjoy walking to the next village because that's a social thing for them. And so we always resource is something that we do last in terms of finance. We'll set up a relationship, empower the local people, envision them, and then as they begin to move, we will then begin to put small amounts of money in, never large amounts of money. And the idea is to help them to break free from poverty and disease. So that was the aim, really, of our most recent trip. And that's, we have a number of projects that we aim to achieve those aims through. One is community healthcare. another micro enterprise. And those were the two main things that the trip that we did to Malawi were aiming to do. Community healthcare is just very basic healthcare training, things that most of us would know anyway about sanitation and nutrition, very basic stuff that you would have learnt at school. If you cook in your family, you probably have carbohydrates plus protein and various other things. You would know that. But often the people in the communities that we're working in wouldn't know that. Basic sanitation. We are often in situation of encouraging people in villages to build a latrine, a pit latrine. So very, very simple things, and also micro-enterprise. And on this trip, Andy and I expected to be training about community healthcare. That's what we've done. We've done a similar trip last year, and that involves, there's a thick manual, which the idea is that you learn at least some of that, so that when you're in a training situation, depending on what the local people ask for, you can do some training in that area. And I speak for myself. I spent many hours in the weeks leading up to our trip trying to learn the manual. And on the plane on the way out there, I felt like someone who'd been revising for an exam, knowing very well I hadn't revised the right things. So it was some trepidation that I went. Now, thank you, Father. We've been talking about finding out what the Father's doing and joining in with it. On the plane on the way out there, we realised that actually there was a bit of a gap in the team of 9 people in the area of micro-enterprise. Now, those of you who know me know that I run a small business, and actually my real passion is micro-enterprise, putting small loans into developing countries and enabling people to set up very small businesses and lift themselves out of poverty. So on the plane on the way out there, we switched from being part of the community healthcare team to being part of the micro-enterprise team, which was actually very exciting for us. We didn't know the materials, we hadn't read the manual, but we just felt, particularly I felt, it was an area that I was more confident with. And the whole thing's a bit silly, really, because my the way I earn a living is to train. Put me in front of 200 people, if I know what I'm talking about, you know, if I'm talking to special needs teachers, that's fine. But sit me in a mud hut and encourage me to talk about healthcare, which I have got no background in at all. That was very scary for me. So whilst we still felt very much out of our comfort zone, it seems a little bit nearer. And so we were excited to be swapped onto that team, and that was very exciting for us. And we worked into 2 communities. Let me just tell you a little bit, briefly, a little bit about what we did. We've got some slides to show you in a moment. But we worked into 2 communities, one in a beautiful, beautiful place up on the shores of Lake Malawi. It looks like a fantastic holiday destination. And we often joke we're not going to put pictures of us sitting on the beach in the magazine, otherwise everyone will think that we had a very nice holiday. However, the living conditions are very, very basic. We didn't have running water. But it was a fantastic week. We had influencers from local communities who came in, and we did some training with some work with administrators, people who would be administering these small loans, and some work with beneficiaries, people who actually will be given a small loan, helping them to know what would be a good business and what wouldn't be a good business. And the second week we spent down in Lilongwe, which is the capital, and we stayed in a fairly basic hotel, but we did have running water and showers, and we could go back home and have a shower after a day in the village. Where we actually were working was much more basic. They were literally African villages with no running water, no electricity. Pit latrines that they'd built since our last visit last summer, when we'd encouraged them that was a good way forward. And we were actually working partly with people who would be setting up tiny, tiny businesses. Some of the women we were working with had been given loans of £20 to set up in a small business. So that was exciting, helping them to see how they could use their money. No one in the villages we were working in had ever been to secondary school. No one's ever been to secondary school or college. And if you know that the primary schooling is free, but the classes are anything up to, well, the largest class we heard about was a lady with 188 children in her primary school class. So it is amazing, actually, that they do manage to make it work, but I'm sure you can realise that the education is not quite the standard that we complain about in England. So we're working with these ladies who've had probably quite poor primary school education and helping them to see whether their business ideas would work, and if they weren't working, why they weren't working. So that was just a real privilege, and they're fantastic at welcoming us, as you'll see on the video in a moment. But I just, before I hand over to Andy, I just want to point out the one thing that we want to be is sustainable. As Links International, that's our kind of watchword, really, that we will only be involved in projects that are sustainable. Those of you who've travelled in developing countries will have probably seen again and again situations where people from the West, with every good intention, have come in and made local people dependent on them, where you give money, you know, you pay for this or that, or you cover someone's salary, all of which, fantastic intention, but what it serves to do is to make those people dependent on you, and when you can no longer give, they're bereft. So what we're trying to do, and actually in lots of cases there's nothing wrong with that, but what we're trying to do as Links, we want to set up things that are sustainable. So we want to put money in for loans. We won't make gifts in most cases. We'll put money in for loans that are then repayable and can be used again and again. And it makes the people self-sufficient rather than dependent on our Western money, which has not been a positive thing in many situations. So, over to Andy.
So let me just give you a few things to look out for on our little slideshow. The first of all is just to say that the music you'll hear is all sort of live recordings from prayer meetings we were in, times we were greeted by bands of women sort of coming out to sort of greet us and sing to us when we arrived in the village, and that sort of thing. See if you can hear the bit that I think translated it as God is good all the time, God is good. You might pick that up. They don't sing it in English, but you probably might better watch out for it. I have included a couple of slides that show how beautiful Lake Malawi is, just to sort of be honest about it. But also you will see a little bit about the conditions of the village and so on. Actually, slides have a habit of looking quite glossy and nice, and if you get the lighting right, even the extremely dirty children look quite cute. And they were cute. They're also extremely dirty and you know, the conditions they live in are not great. I said this trip took me out of my comfort zone. I don't like pit latrines. I don't like... We stayed the first week in what has been built. It's not quite finished yet, but it's been built as a guest house. It's been built as a guest house, but they haven't quite put the ceilings in yet, which means there's no ceiling on the toilet, for example. Sorry, this is being recorded. It's also very basic. You spend 2 weeks doing healthcare in Africa and you end up with a very basic level of conversation. I'm sorry, but I do apologise. Not very genteel for a Sunday morning in Marlow. But there are no ceilings on the toilet. You know, you can use your imagination for that. And I'm quite a private person. And you wouldn't necessarily know that, but I am. I find that difficult. But by the end of 2 weeks, I was determined we were going back again. We're signed up for May next year. Because it is amazing to see how these people respond. And it's fundamentally a Christian country, and they respond to you, talking to, you know, basing what you're doing in Scripture. And there are people there determined to live out, for them to live out, that verse that we had up just now, to carry out the good works prepared in advance for them to do, that they feel God is calling them to. Volunteers in villages who are committed to seeing lives transformed in their villages, even though they themselves have got hardly anything. A couple of things to look out for then. The nice pictures of the beach. A thing which you might not work out what it is if you don't immediately sort of recognise it. It's a thing called a tippy, which is a way of having running water coming out of a tipped-up gallon container, which means you can tread on a foot pedal, a bit of string pulls the gallon container, and you get running water when you come out of the latrine without having to touch anything. Important. Actually, in public toilets, I always wonder about the taps, actually, isn't it? You know, but there we go. Foot pedals would be much better. You'll see a tippy. You will see a couple of people using the tippy towards the end. One is a guy is the chief of the village, or actually the villages that we were working into, a guy called Chief Chapsinja, lovely Christian man who is leading with love. And also, next slide after that, you'll see a guy in a black leather jacket. He is someone called the traditional authority, which means he's one of about 4 or 5 Uber chiefs kind of thing in Malawi. And he was so, again, I think a Christian guy, and very committed that we, or Link, should be coming back and doing stuff in all of the villages that he's responsible for, which is a big chunk of Malawi, I think. So that's interesting. Two more things. One is, towards the end, there's two little video clips. The first one is some ladies from the village rehearsing. We think they were rehearsing. Well, they might have just been having a good time. For a award ceremony that happened that afternoon. You will see 3 non-local women joining in with the dancing. But I have permission, don't I? Yeah. And then you see the award ceremony. Can I say, I'm going to suggest this for the big year, for this coming year, that I think all award ceremonies should be like this, as they all sing and dance their way to the front to collect their certificates. The second lady you'll see go up is very small, diminutive, looks quite young. I've got no idea how old she is. Just before that, just before she's gone up to get her certificate, during the sort of presentation part of the afternoon, she'd been one of 2 ladies presenting their action plan for the villages, the stuff they were going to be responsible for, these 2 ladies and their team. And it was about pregnancy and childbirth. And they were going to go round and they were going to be teaching the women in the villages about pregnancy and childbirth and imparting some very important information which would actually stop people dying, which they have been doing on a regular basis. One of the things that is traditional in the villages, even though it is a foundationally Christian country, is the witch doctors are still very powerful. And or sometimes they're just called African doctors or traditional doctors, but basically they're witch doctors. And if you become pregnant, you are supposed to go and consult them at the beginning of your pregnancy. And one of the things they do, apart from all the slightly dodgy spiritual stuff, is give the ladies a potion. And we never did get to the bottom of exactly what was in this potion, apart from, I'm sorry for the take, the human feces, basically, are in this potion, which obviously doesn't do the pregnant women a lot of good. And this lady stood up in front of, and you'll kind of see on the slide, a whole row of people, and it was the village chief and the area chief and chiefs from other villages and headmen from the villages and so on, and basically stood up and said, one of the things we're going to tell the women is, don't go and consult the witch doctor. Rock on. So, a very brave lady. So, as far as I'm concerned, she deserved every second she got dancing up to get her certificate. So, let's look at the slides. Thank you. It's easy when you get back here to kind of treat that as a bit of a dream, really. And I don't think we should live our lives kind of feeling guilty about living where we do. But I do think we should live our lives being grateful for living where we do and what God has given us. And also, just to think again about how he wants us to share that, wherever that is. One of the things, and some of you, if you were on Facebook, you will have seen me write this. For the first sort of 12 hours when I got back, and anyone who's travelled third world will recognise this, when I was cleaning my teeth, I hesitated as I sort of ran the tap, because for the last 2 weeks I'd not been rinsing my mouth out with the water out the tap, if there was water out the tap. Because you don't, not if you want to stay well. And for the first 12 hours, you come back and you sort of hesitate. And then it's easy just to kind of allow that to just become part of what you do again. What I'm trying to do, reasonable success so far, is every time, at least once a day, that I have to run the tap to clean my teeth or to get a glass of water or something, to just take 3 seconds to say thank you and be thankful. And you can keep asking me if I'm keeping that up. You might want to think about it yourself. And then the other thing is just to consider all that we've been given. And the other verse that keeps sticking with me is this one. It's from 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11. I spoke about it a few months ago when I was talking about giving. It's actually a verse that we used in the microenterprise training, because God's principles work. And the fact is, this is a great principle for these people running their businesses, that God supplies them, and that supply means that out of their businesses, there's some stuff which is for them for now. That's the bread to eat, but there's some stuff they need to sow back into their businesses in order for their businesses to grow and multiply, and we explain that to them. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And I guess the challenge that Lina and I just wanted to throw out this morning was, what are those things that we're seeing the Father doing that he's calling us to join in with? What are the good works that he's prepared in advance for each one of us to do? And that doesn't have to be on the other, well, not really the other side of the world, the other half of the world, down in Malawi, or it doesn't have to be anywhere further than your own home or next door, but it could be further away. And Lynx do run a number of teams throughout the year, and you can talk to us about that. And what has he given us that is for us now and for us to be thankful for and enjoy, the bread for food? And what has he given us which actually we're supposed to be sowing? Sowing back to others. Sowing into the kingdom, if you like. Sowing so that a harvest of righteousness will grow. That might be, the context of the verse was finance, original context. It might be other stuff he's given us. It might be talents, it might be gifts. It might be prayer. But what has he asked us to sow? And not just sit on. Because if we consume the seed that he's given us to sow, we'll just get fat, but finally it will run out. Nothing will multiply. So I'm just going to play a song. And I just want to encourage you. I know it's August and it's laid back and it's sunny, and praise God, let's enjoy the weather. Let's be grateful for what he's given us. But let's just take a couple of minutes to consider, what have you given me, Lord, that is bread for food? And I want to be thankful for that. And what have you given me that you maybe are talking to me afresh about, places you want me to sow it?
Gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne. Your majesty, I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise. Your majesty, I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Your majesty, I can't but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. I live to serve your majesty.
Okay, just to sum up and to round off this morning, two challenges for you. One is to find out what the Father's doing for you, and that will be different for each of us. It won't, as Andy said, for all of us be going off to another country. It will be, for all of us, there is a challenge to what we do day to day in our everyday lives from home. So what's Father doing? And once you've found that out, join in with it. That's actually all he asks of us, that we find out what he's doing and join in with that. And then also, what is it that you've got that's bread for food for today? And what is it that he's asking you to sow? And is that different from what you're doing now? Should you make some changes? So two challenges there for you to think about this week. Thanks very much.